Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Tonight is Monday, and I might add, it's going to be a wonderful show. So I want y'all to take your time, turn your radios on, turn your phones on, turn those computers on, and you're going to have time to get a little bit of popcorn, because this show is going to be hot like butter. Make sure. Y'all need some popcorn? Go get the butter. Godfather, give it to us. Everybody, I hope you had a chance to get the popcorn after Godfather and Soul, who should be in theater soon. One of my favorite artists. James Brown. So I hope your popcorn got some butter on it, because tonight we're going to be sizzling. We got a lot of information to give out tonight, and it's a lot of activity going on, everybody. A whole lot of activity. Welcome, everybody, to OE Dry Bones. We thank you for listening. Thank you for coming on Monday night to get some information that hopefully will keep your mind insane. I'm out of being insane, but keep you into the know. So tonight's show actually is coming off of a very good show we had last week. And we're going to continue because it was so dynamic. We got a lot of calls. I had a chance to actually meet the brother face to face, and we'll get into that as well. Wonderful spirit. But it's part two of spiritual warfare and satanic imperialism and mental warfare. Those of you who are on the internet, I thank you for joining us. Please take the time to look at our archives. Go to www.drybonesconnection.com. We are about to put up all the archives that we ever had to the link that we have now, and you will see some of the things we had back in such a long time ago. It is wonderful that everybody is starting to come into the conscious world of reality. But mental warfare, satanic imperialism, and spiritual warfare is what we're going to be dealing with from the part two perspective. But at the same time, we're going to get into some of the things that I had the chance to experience this week, and I want to give a shout-out to my members of the family. For Miss Ethel has returned to the ancestors. What a good woman she was. I know the family. We hold you in high esteem, Miss Ethel Saunders. I had a chance to see Hidden Colors 3 up in Fort Lauderdale at the Old Dillard Museum. Wonderful place. Everybody take a chance to look up there. A lot of history there at the Old Dillard Museum. I give thanks to the people who put it together, Movement for Change, Keisha, and Brother Chauncey. So I had a chance to see it. Now, we're going to get into that later, because I really need to have dialogue on that, because that is a very interesting documentary, all three of them. And I think there's so much more that can go with it that we can all grasp something from. But it was very good to see. And we will get into that. But before we start the show tonight, I'm going to bring my guests on within the next 20 minutes. After I get everybody and all the information I've been gathering, I want to give a shout-out to Detroit and a shout-out to Benton Harbor, Reverend Pinckney. Y'all still fighting. I think he thanked us for some of the signatures that was given from here. Thank you, all of you who went online and did a petition for the brother. That victory is a victory. Even though you were not there, guess what? You are in spirit. Thank everybody, and he will keep in touch. I thank Mary Neal, who also out there in the trenches, and many other across the country. But tonight, I want to just get the business out the way right quick. We got so many people coming down here to the South Florida area. We got Dr. Kava returning about the event we told you about. It's coming close. I hope maybe we can get the sisters on to give a shout-out for it. But it's going to be August 1st to August the 3rd, and it is going to be educational. He's going to ask all community leaders to come out. They're going to be talking about a curriculum that I believe is timely, the homeschool curriculum that needs to be administered ASAP, and he will be at the House of Kumba, which is on 745 Southwest 4th Street in Dania Beach. I would give the information to the brother. It's going to be Sister Gael. Please call that number. It's going to be 954-554-5174 for that event. You have until August 1st. She has good news. It has been reduced the more who come. She will work more prices out with you, but it's gotten better. So I think everybody should go and take a look at that who's interested in education or the people. Also, we have Dr. Omar Johnson coming down here on August 19th, and that's being brought by a few people because he's going to be hitting the whole South Florida area. But we got some questions we all need to ask us about things being talked about. You know, Dry Bone Connection, we do not hold back. Is a school being brought up? We need to find out what's actually going to be the ground floor of the idea and the making. I think that's important for us to ask these questions because, you know, the idea is very noteworthy, and I believe it should be definitely pursued, but we need to do it with all eyes open. But hopefully, Brother Chauncey, who is of GMOG Media, says to call him at 954-868-6244. That's Chauncey Smith of GOMG Media. And the brother does some nice work. I had a chance to see it. They're putting together some very nice presentations. And keep up the good work. Also, shout out to my friend who has just entered the state of Florida. Brother Sharif is here. And we're going to hopefully hook up. I found out that he is his show for radio, the House of Restoration. He said he's going to take a little break up until August 30th. But when he come back, he said the seminar, they put it all together. They're going to lay it on the table. And hopefully I have a little bit of input with that because I plan on working with the brother. So let's see what happens from that. And that should be something that we all should be looking forward to with my brother Credit Man, who is out there doing his thing. Hopefully he will be in on that as well, because in this time you have about, let's say it's 2014, 2015, you better take a real look, because we got a presidency coming up in 2016. It could be Hillary. I just want to put that out there. And I hope to have this brother on, Dr. Jehudi. I met the brother at the event up there, and he has a book called Dark Matter, and he's a neuropsychologist, and he says your brain is your most valuable asset, and hopefully we can get him on the show soon. You can go to www.graymattersmattersnet, graymattermattersnet, okay, standing for your brain and gray matter. Very interesting concept that he has, and I think we should be able to take a look at that as well. But tonight, let's get ready, because I feel very, very energized. The sun is rolling. I'm in 98-degree weather. Ra is kissing us big time down here in the Sunshine State, the Magic City. So let me just say this. My special guest is a brother who I had the chance to meet personally, and our spirits was very well received. Bananetti Amin Ra, he is what I consider a brother who is sincere in what he's trying to do and put forth. And tonight we just gonna talk hard, y'all. If y'all can understand where we're coming from, we had some interesting conversations with a lot of people this weekend. And being that our concept, y'all, you know, we is into the esoteric and the allegoric. And we're going to just tell the way it is. We deal in threes. Three dimension, three degrees, three heavens. And I came across some interesting information before we get the brother on here. I want to know who all who listening, there's three classifications of blacks that was given in 1930, this is before 1933 now, before the great bankruptcy. In 1930, there was three descriptive characteristics for black people. And I want to ask yourself tonight before we get deep, what category is your mind in? You don't have to tell it, but if you want to come on the air tonight, because we have spiritual warfare. That's mental warfare, what I'm about to tell y'all how it works. And this is during after the Civil War and so forth. But let me just tell you this. Are you in Group 1? Let me read what Group 1 is about. Are y'all ready for this? I hope so. It says, during the time period preceding the American Civil War, three groups of white people emerged with three different views on social placement of African Americans in 1930 society. Some called for a never-ending discrimination against the lesser race. Others wished for equal legal rights, but no political rights. And even a smaller group hoped for total equality of all races and colors. This is during the advent of the NAACP as well, And this is also during the time of Margaret Springer. And I'm going to keep bringing that because tonight, this is a duality of mental warfare, satanic imperialism. Now, here it is. Are you in this group, black people? There's a large majority of whites in the South believe blacks need to learn their place. Now, that's whites. I'm going to go to us because I want us to go through. I was going to go through the whites, but I'm going to say that for later. I'm going to go to us. This is the one I want to go to. They named us in distinctive class called first class, the second class, and the third class. This is us now. I was going to do the whites, but I said, no, I'm going to take up too much time. I'm going to try to get that in later. This was a distinction of us. Here's the first class. It says, this class is composed chiefly of illiterate and superstitious blacks. They usually work on railroads, steamboats, like Noble Drew and them, large sawmills, and farms for wages. They were basically a nomad people. This class was content to be let alone. It would shoot an incel just as quickly as any white person would. However, they did not even care who the target of the incel was, black or white, within this class. You would find your whiskey sellers, your drunkards, your gamblers, your criminals, your lowest types. It is the lowest degree of depraved criminals in this class who stirs up and incite race hatred, which always results to race riots. The other two classes of blacks, as well as whites, now this is where it gets tricky. They want nothing to do but to get rid of these people. Now, these are the two classes that want to get rid of this. I'm going to read this. These are black classes. The second class, are you in this one? The blacks who compose of farm renters and owners, preachers, teachers, students, professionals, businessmen. Reverend Alex Crumrell summed up the blacks perfectly in his Thanksgiving sermon. He said, quote, they believe that blacks should be educated in many trades and professions. They believe they should own homes, pay their own taxes, perform civic duties like any other white citizen. They should also have all the rights and privileges of the delegated to all men under the Constitution of the United States. These blacks believe in enduring this suffrage and being patient, self-sacrificing for their plight, for the quelling of race riots, and was constantly seeking cooperation with the best class of white people in order to secure a cordial rapport between the races. Though this class is rapidly increasing, it is still inferior in number to the previous class, which was the first class I told you about, which was the superstitious blacks, the ones that worked in the railroads. It said this group is responsible for most of the literate written during this period, appealing to Ida Wells and all them, appealing to the white man to help their cause, because this group of blacks is the easiest to learn about. And then the class that is at the bottom of the pyramid who would agree with the second class to get rid of that first class who was the ones that were saying all kind of other things. It says this third class is composed almost completely of antebellum blacks. That means slave minds. They are well advanced in age and is content with their present state of life. Having never known anything else, they were willing to stay a status quo. Many of them have waited for years for the 40 acres of mules promised to them after the Civil War and have been disappointed in its expectations. They have lost all hope. They are perfectly harmless and have no earthly ambition. This was the black the whites prefer, for he had no ambition for the life of equality, therefore expecting nothing from society to enslave him. These blacks were the ones mainly, listen carefully, the ones mainly being interviewed in the historic slave narrative collection that Oprah Winfrey brought to HBO. Which one are you? We are dealing with the three heavens tonight. We are dealing with the 3 degrees tonight. We are dealing with the 3 days in the belly. We are dealing with the 3 days in the grave. We're going to get serious tonight, everybody, because I'm noticing that we have always had these three classes subliminally placed in all of our minds. But you got to ask yourself, which one are you? I'm going to give you a reason why I say that. Most of our people probably are in the second class, percentage-wise. Those who will be the ones that are saying, let's do this while we're being choked hold and no police is being held accountable. Those are the blacks that are probably telling you the Constitution is for you. When I just had former Congressman James Trafficking come on here and tell you that, he made a speech that would have probably been one of the best speeches the House would ever hear, but not one of the black congressional congressmen jumped on board. That's that black. This is the group that's responsible for all the writings about what happened to us. The NAACP, Walter White, who looked white, who was over the NAACP for lynching. I've had to watch Hidden Colors talk about lynching, but you can go get the book, 100 Years of Lynching, and you will see handwritten news accounts all over this country. Also, in Hidden Colors, you can go get Medical Apartheid. That sister deserves a Pulitzer Prize award for that book, Medical Apartheid, for what she told about the medical industry. Let's give her some applause as well. These people who have risked their life. But this is that class. Now, that first class, before we bring our brother on, is that class that every one of our revolutionary people probably came out. Remember the sleepy car with the railroads? They had their unions. These were craftsmen as well. When I mean craftsmen, you will soon find out what I mean. This is that stand up for yourself, Rosewood. Crew of people. These were the Black Wall Street groups. Was the first class. They made their own liquor. They made their own things. They made their own jurisdiction. But where we at now, almost all of us can possibly be put into that third class without any problem with the economic instability of the kingdom, imperial, satanic rulership of the New World Order, which you are living in as we speak. No matter how you may try to deceive yourself that you are not product of this order, you will be wise to wake up as fast as possible. Based on what we are seeing through our intelligence from across the country, they have already started in the mass incarceration of not only people. Hidden Colors 3 did say they are taking body parts. That was one of the best parts that I enjoyed, because that part tells you there is a war. That war is spiritual. The heavens is at war. The problem is, are you at war? So tonight, I'm going to bring my brother in. Brother Manetti Amin-Ra, so we can get this conversation started. We are going to ask you, do you want life or death? Can you look at the horrific things that are happening in the world and just say, I'm going to stand by and watch? Can you really do that? If you have not made up your mind, maybe by tonight, you can make your mind up. Brother, Hotep, how you feel tonight? I got you on the air. You out there?
Hotep, brother, how you feel?
I'm wonderful, man.
I appreciate
as you know, there's been so many things going on, and we couldn't leave it at that one, because it was so much information being given that night, and people were telling me, let's bring the brother on. And because of good brother through the connection, all the way from Tampa, See how these connections work, y'all? We do the whole state. I want y'all to know, Dry Bones Connection ain't just in the MIA. We do the whole state of Florida. All right in the heart. And I give thanks to all my brothers out there who in the heartland, Lakeland, Brother Montu, who was one of the brothers who introduced me to everybody in that area. So big ups to you, man. Hopefully we'll be having you on tonight. But let's talk a little bit, man. We had a lot of information and a lot of stuff we were talking about, and your class was, I enjoyed it. I hope we can keep that going and promote it and keep that vibe out there. But we're starting to see we're having so many different mindsets out there. And I believe, and what I just described and read, I believe that these classifications of what we call mind control came right after that historic brainwashing of telling us that you have been emancipated. What's your view on that?
Right. Before I begin, I just wanted to, you know, send a thanks to you. Appreciate you coming out last night and supporting and adding your insight, you know, by your intellectual insight to the class last night was greatly appreciated. So I just wanted to, you know, get that out of the way. And again, appreciate you coming out, supporting for that. But what I wanted, appreciate it. What I wanted to touch on, I mean, what you just said, part of that mindset. And a couple of things as I was listening to the introduction, I made a couple of notes here, and you touched on, you know, some really important things. And again, there's a difference between listening and hearing. And, you know, and I think a lot of us hear, but we don't listen. It's two different things. We don't know how to distinguish between the two. These mindsets, you know, when you say it's a spiritual and it's a mental thing, and it is, and we're at war every day. And we at war internally with ourselves. Part of it also, and we discussed some of it last night when you were touching on the New World Order. Race identification has a lot, plays a large part in this, in the mindset and the way we think. Now,
right.
to take it a little bit deeper on a mental and a scientific level. Now, when we look at all the what they classify as all the ethnicities on the planet, okay, we know scientifically, which is basic science, regardless of what your ethnicity is, and we go by all types of names. It could be African American, it could be Jamaican, it could be Haitian, Panamanian, Cuban, Puerto Rican, etc. We know scientifically every ethnicity falls under one of three categories. You're either Mongoloid, Caucasoid, or Negroid. And I'm going to tell you why this is important. Okay, we know, and we're just going to briefly go through it. We know if you fall under the category of being Mongoloid, that would be mostly of your Asiatic races, your Native Americans, which are a mixture of Indo-Aryan, Asian, and African. Then you have your original Negroid races, which would be the descendants of Africa. And then this is what I pose this question to my Latino brothers and sisters. Then you have your Negroid race. Now, I want everybody to ask themselves that's listening to this radio show tonight, regardless of what your nationality or ethnicity you claim. Because remember, most of the cultures and nationalities that we claim today, especially my good brothers and sisters from the Caribbean and Latin America, we tend to separate that from what we truly are by blood. So now you got to ask yourself, out of those three categories, what category do you fall under? Now, if you're not Asian or Native American, then you're not Mongoloid, okay? And if you are Latino, And Latinos are the ones that have the hardest to grasp this. And I know from my experience down here in Florida, especially the Cubans, because they tend to look more European or more and have more alkaline features, they tend to try to blend in more with the Caucasian race. But by blood, if you are Cuban, Puerto Rican, Dominican, do you fall under, you're not Mongoloid, do you fall under the Caucasoid or the Negroid category? When you trace it by blood, you'd have to say Negroid. And any other sub-races would fall under Caucasoid. Why is that important? That's important because, one, what we identify with, it shapes our consciousness. It shapes how we think. Because you can, you know, on the outside profess or think what you want to be, but what you actually are by blood is the key. Now, they don't want us to know this. Now, why is this important? Because this deals with the mental warfare because they have now instituted over the last several hundred years a system for us now. Because when I talk to my good Puerto Rican brothers and sisters, I'm talking about Puerto Ricans that are not, you know, brought to the knowledge of consciousness. They want to claim that they're Latino, but Latino is not a race. what category does that fall under? When you do the research, you would have to say it falls under the Negroid category. Trace the bloodline. The word Puerto Rican just means rich port. That's all it means. It's a title that the slave master gave. And if you, we can go around the whole country,
right,
any title that these people have was given to them by slave masters that placed them in them locations. So I think part of breaking that spell or that classification that you were speaking of in the beginning to change the mindset, people would think a little different if they identified with who they were originally by blood, but we don't. And it doesn't mean to forget your modern-day culture. That's not what I'm saying. But it also means don't forget who you are. You're who you are by blood. And we talked about last night, it's at the point now where we have to do something. And when you were breaking down those classifications, the world is dictating that change must come now. But, again, like we've been discussing, if we just sit around and talk about it and don't take action, because, like you said, there's a lot of good brothers and sisters trying to do things to make change. But like you said, we have to ask ourselves, you know, which category are we in? And that's why I bring up, what do you identify with first? Because, again, what you identify with shapes your thoughts, shapes your personality. It defines your consciousness, okay? So if you are raised a certain way, and here's another thing, we don't ever ask this of our leaders, of our education system, because we're going and sending our kids into these schools, but we don't do the research on the people that are writing the textbook. What's their religious beliefs? What's their political beliefs? What's their background? How are they raised? How are they brought up? Because that's going to be influenced in the information that they're filtering down to us. So it's very important.
Now, let me ask you that, because now I'm glad you brought that, because we talked about, let's be honest, the first person to have the actual implant to a child mind would be the parents for the most part. Without any school, would be the parent. Now, let's be honest. The era that I'm going to stick with until we get up in there will be this 1930 move where the country's going through a transformation based off the economics as well, which is another imperialism move.
That's right.
We're finding out that at the same time, we're going through an imperialism shift as the mind is being told you're being free.
Correct.
In reality, you're not. The system is not free. It's putting you more into it. So it's kind of like I would say this. We are being so confused that we can't act. And that's part of psychological warfare, where you decombobulate the person. And that's in the book of The Art of War, everybody. I want y'all to know something before we get to the brother mentioned last night, DNA, and I'm going to give what the ancients would have called it. It is the divine nature of atom. That is DNA.
That's right.
It is the divine nature of atom. Y'all have to look that clearly, what we're talking about. That DNA is very important. He talked about that last night, and we'll probably get more into that. But the children today, let me ask you about this, brother. If we don't catch the brothers, these children at an early age, prior to them getting into the mind program, because once you go into the school system, it's programmed as a regiment. And everybody should know that.
That's right.
That's why you got to go to the 12th grade. You know, you go to the 12th grade, everybody, just like it's the 12th and everything else. So you
That's
go
right.
to the 12th grade. When you get out of the 12th grade, you really don't have no understanding of economics, because depending on what school you went to, they never talked about stocks. They never talked about gold and silver, which is a capitalistic society. Wouldn't you think that our system really is at a point where it has to be changed, or else the next generation won't even, they'll be just totally taken out? What's your view on that?
No, most definitely. You think that we're under mental warfare and programming now. I mean, they'll be literally walking zombies, not having a clue what they're doing. And let's touch on something you said about catching the children early. Now, the sad thing about it is, I noticed this in my travels. If you walk up to a lot of our young children, especially I want to focus on young female black children, if you ask them the question, and here's the sad thing, walk up to some of them and ask them something simple, like name five prominent black women in history, and most of them can't do it. Ask them to name you five hip-hop artists. They'll spit you about 10, 20. They know all the lyrics to the latest trash and filth that's on the radio, being played on BET, all the programming that they're getting in school. And now we got another thing that we're battling, which we talked about the benefits of it, but there's also the negative aspect of it. We have the benefits of technology, but the negative aspect of it, we also have our kids that have these smartphones and these iPhones, and right at the tip of their fingertips, they have access to all types of devilishment, pornography, right at their fingertips, Facebooking and texting, cyberbullying. Now there's other ways now, electronically, technological-wise, that they can destroy our kids against each other. Now here's the thing. We have to take responsibility, because if you put your kid in front of the idiot box, meaning the TV all day, and they're surfing the TV and watching all this trash and all this garbage 24/7, where do you think they're going to get their education from? We're responsible.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I'm going to go right back to what you said, because let's just take it with all the technology we got. And me and you, you know, we pretty up to the par, brother. We know the computer. We know how to work with the system and everything. Have you seen some of the older brothers who are on Facebook, supposedly givers of knowledge and wisdom, are actually got fighting on their screen? They got black on black fighting as if it's funny. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's a bunch of them out there. Be kicking is like they got so much profound knowledge, but yet you're going to put this on your site, and it is degrading. Then one minute you're going to tell me I can be in the private and all this other crazy shit. I mean, let's be honest. Are we going to be one way tomorrow, one way today? And that's confusing the people. Now, I'm going to tell you something I heard today, because we could talk about this, because that's why we on these type of show. Tom Joyner had on a good show this morning when I called it. And y'all heard him. J. Anthony Brown went to some zombie fest. I don't know where it's at. I called it that. But when you said that zombie thing, he said the zombie thing was so serious that a zombie played his part to the T. An actual driver got scared and ran him over. This is real, y'all. Now, these people are playing a zombie role just like the zombie movie. Now, y'all got to ask yourself something. Is that by coincidence or what, everybody? They put it in your face. They try to use, and I'm going to tell y'all, look it up. When you are a zombie, it's like having a lobotomy. You are the walking dead. So that means you're brainless. And that's really the joke of the straw man. Or the Wizard of Oz, if only I had a brain. That's why this is so serious, y'all, because y'all putting this stuff together, but not putting it together. They are telling you in your face, you are the straw man, we're going to use you and make you a dummy. That's why they got all these people doing it. And it was so funny on today on Tom Joyner. Those of you who listen to Tom Joyner, y'all know I ain't making that up. And they made a big thing on it. That's why I tell y'all, you have to be careful, y'all, who y'all listen to. Those frequencies are the same frequencies of that second class. Make you laugh at your suffrage. Make you feel safe sacrificing. Let you feel like, oh, well, everything's okay. Let me get J. Anthony Brown to that. Make a joke while I'm doing somebody choking us in a chokehold. And he'll do a joke, and you'll be laughing at the joke about the chokehold.
That's right.
That's called the group that's responsible for keeping you pacified. Now, that's in the writings. I didn't write this up. This is in the Library of Congress of the first three classes of black after 1930. Y'all make y'all decision where y'all at. That's all I'm saying tonight. Now, let's get a little more ahead of it. We've been having this conversation, and you made it clear last night, and like I say, it was more male dominant, but we had a sister who brought that spirit in there. And I want to tell the women, we need y'all sisters. Y'all just don't know. It ain't nothing that can make a black man cry worse than a sister. Or a woman, period. I'm not even going to put it on sisters. A woman, period, can make a big, brawny man cry. You see what's happening to Ray Rice. He went crazy. In the elevator. Y'all can do that to us. Y'all got powers y'all don't know about. And if y'all use them in the evil, which I mean the good and the evil, you can mess a soul up. So I'm asking you, sisters, if a man needs your understanding when he's coming into spirituality, and you may not see it because I know we got three classifications. All those classifications, the first class would probably be the Freemason, the Yuba tribe, the Sari tribes, those who took it to the river, those were the blacks who had the secret call, take me to the river, and they would do their rituals. That's the first class. Actually, that could be the third class, too, but they were too scared. Third class was strictly saying, help me, Jesus. But the second class, that second class, y'all was tricky. Y'all tricky.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
The class that had all of the knowledge inside of it. Y'all knew what made us tick. You had all these groups, Urban League, NAACP, Black Workers. And what we asking tonight, man, do you see the transition that is going on in America today? And I don't like to say the color game because color was not introduced to us until the 1700s. Before the 1700s,
right.
Black brothers and sisters, y'all was slinging dick all over the earth.
That's
period.
Right.
Period. So quit pretending that that was not happening. So when y'all sisters see a commercial with somebody white with a black brother with a white, why don't you go to the Moorish archives? That'll shut you up. That'll shut you up. You need a real quick check on that because we are arguing about stuff that's already part of our history that we are not aware of. And this is killing us. This is killing us.
That's right.
So we need to be sure on what we are talking about because they are aware of history when we are not. So, brother, give me your take on all this stuff that's going on, how in reality it's one way, it looks like it this way, but really it's the other way. How do you perceive this duality where when we say that's
the truth,
it really is a lie?
Right. You bring up some key points when you were talking about the zombie thing, and like we talked about, being a Masonic society, you know, everything that they reveal to us is an allegory and symbols. And like, you know, you touched on a key point. We have to look at the symbolicism behind it. Like we've seen in the last year or two, this whole zombie craze and people dressing up, even like you said, staging these zombie attacks. Do we ever really ask ourselves what is the point of it? And you just answered the question. They're doing these things to, again, part of mental warfare is stamping on the subconscious certain concepts and images, and they are revealed through allegory and symbols, like you said. And brothers that travel, brothers that have gone through the lodge, have studied some of the esoterical teachings, will be able to relate to it easier. But they know that if an individual does not have the awareness or the knowledge, they know that there's certain ways they can stamp images and subconscious and subliminal messages to that individual's brainwaves. We also talked about how we have to regenerate our alpha brainwaves. And we touched a little bit on that last week with the frequencies, because those whose minds are not vibrating or tapping into the correct frequencies, they're able to be programmed with this information or the stuff that they're trying to send out. The other thing I wanted to touch on that you talked about, which is all part of this process, with the technology thing again, okay? The great thing is we're doing stuff like we're doing now. We're reaching mass people. That's the beauty of it. But you mentioned something, how you have a lot of these people on Facebook, et cetera. I say, you know, or I like to talk, you have a lot of YouTube gangsters, I like to call them, YouTube black conscious gangsters. And nobody take offense to this, but this is the reality. There's a gimmick that people got going on. A lot of people are bold when they're behind their computer and typing. And I know in my experience with the internet the last several years, when certain individuals tend not to see things for what it is and they want to get upset. And then when you challenge them to say, all right, well, let's meet face-to-face, bring the facts, and let's talk about this, you know, no response. So we're dealing at an age where a lot of these demons, I like to call them, like to hide behind the computer, and their job, too, they're part of the process, is to get on that world wide web, you understand,
right,
and start the chaos
right.
and the confusion. That's part of it.
They call
the other thing.
They call shrills.
Yes.
They call shrills. Yeah, there's a special name for them, y'all. Look for them. They call shrills, and there are some type of groups that come on there to disrupt shows,
that's right,
conversations, different things, mm-hmm, just like the old days, just like the good old days. They, nothing's changed. So they put them on. They can't get them like they used to do at the Marcus Garvey meeting. They couldn't do it like the Marcus Garvey meeting. They was just in a Nation of Islam, and they all look the same. But right now, you don't know who they are because they hide behind KRS-55 or, you know, they talking about I'm a black Aruba queen. So you don't know no more.
Exactly.
I want y'all to be very aware of that, y'all, because that's something serious part of the satanic imperialism. Go ahead, brother.
That's it. And then the other big gimmick the last several years, and I say gimmick because in my last several months, I've challenged a lot of brothers to this. We hear this big thing a lot amongst a lot of comedic brothers. We hear the black woman is God. The black woman is this. The black woman was first. And genetically, she was. And scientifically, we talked about that briefly last week. DNA, carbon, and fossil dating will confirm the fact that the female walked the planet first. That's not the issue at hand. First of all, let's establish this, because we're talking about duality and balancement. You need a combination both of the man and the woman. So this whole gimmick that everybody's selling now, I don't buy it, the black woman's God, I'm going to be honest, we're adults. That's a pimp game because those brothers like to send out the signals to prep the female, if you understand what I'm saying. We're going to touch on that. The reason why I say that, my question to these brothers is, if the black woman is God, black female this, black female that, why are we not putting these females out front? And I asked all these communities, how come these female sisters are not teaching? Because if they're God, we need to get them out there in front, and they should be teaching. But I challenge the ones that I listen to all these lectures. I see all these brothers get up there and put the black woman on a pedestal, the black woman superior. But yet it's still a male-dominated field when it comes to teaching and information. We need to ask ourselves that question, and is that part of this imperialism and this mental warfare? And we need to question the motives behind – yes.
No, go ahead. Finish the motive. Go ahead. Finish the motive behind it.
Yeah, I'm pointing that out because we need the balance, man. The physically and genetically, we know the black woman is superior to man in general, but that's not what I'm questioning. So I'm not dealing with the concept of.
Well, let's go that route with this because again, we had a sister who called you last week and she mentioned was Goddess Maya a physical woman. And for the record, these are principles. These principles of truth, justice, harmony, balance, reciprocity,
correct,
order, righteousness. These are principles that are
correct
of compassion. It is of compassion.
Correct.
Truth is compassionate. You should not want us to be told a lie.
That's
but
right
we do. Justice.
That's right.
You should always want to need justice. That's compassionate. That's why the symbolism of her is on all court buildings, because it's supposed to show you compassion if you are righteously weighed. But unfortunately,
right,
this particular justice is being of a whore. That's why she has a blindfold. And she has a scale that's tipped. That means as a whore, she would give it to the highest bidder.
That's right.
Okay? So that's what we're talking here, y'all. So they have turned the virtue of the woman into a whore. Now,
that's right.
The Mayan, and I'm going to stay on the Mayan for one moment, y'all, because I never said it was a religion. The Kemetic system is not a religion. This is systematic principles that govern all humanity. Everybody, all civilizations
right
know that they have some type of principles, and these principles are all over the earth. Now, again,
that's right,
sometimes we get a little confused, and it's going to be for those of you who do the studying. After we talk, it behooves you to go to these websites, particularly www.dryboneconnection.com, and to my brother who has these classes and many others who are talking this, to study it. Make us know that if we lie, bring it to us, and we will deal with it. If I made up something, you best to correct me, because that's not what Dry Bones Connection is about. Our show is the talk where facts matters. I want facts. And we will track anything that we believe that was misquoted or misstated. But as of right now, we haven't found anything. And we haven't found anybody who can say that we say anything that's untrue. So if that's the fact, bring it. Because we believe you're going to have a think tank like everybody wants to have. A think tank is not a one-day event, everybody. A think tank is almost a sabbatical of 2 years of multi-linguistical mind talk for most of the whole year of how they can get the masses to go along with the plan. After that is established, then you got to have the financing to back the plan. And what has happened to us, because of that group I just told the second class, who have given all our money to groups who are not even under our control, we cannot get any justice today. That's why. That second group, which I need to look at, I didn't write this, they wrote this themselves. Our ancestors wrote this about their own self. That group pretty much held a knife to our necks and said, go along with this plan or else. And because we went along with this plan, today we have such confusion with each other. I was talking to, and you know, we deal with the island community here in the South Florida area. There's one area of the U.S. continental we have every group in the world, in my estimation, is here. Beautiful city. But we have a disconnect. That disconnect, we can have Jesus in front of every church. And I'm going to talk to the Christian world for a minute. Jesus can be in every church. And we didn't even have a problem with him being white. That's how nice we was, everybody. We didn't care if Jesus was white. Y'all do know that. Most of y'all didn't, we didn't have no problem. But we just thought, hey, he's white, cool. But somehow, that does not make unity for some strange reason. Don't y'all find that strange? That all of us go in this building on Sunday, and we cannot come out unified, and we go in there every Sunday for 12 months, four times a month, and sometimes six times in a month, depending on what your church is like. And yet, as a community, as a state, as a country, we still can't come out with the principles that is so much talked about. Give me your take on that, brother. What is keeping the blind in this religious circle that we seem to can't get out of?
Well, religion is definitely, you know, a huge part of the problem because it creates a certain mindset. It creates a certain level of ignorance, and it's actually a disease that's been, you know, plaguing, you know, us for generations. Because you hit it on the head. You go to these facilities, these buildings, these places where they program you, and get the same rhetoric week in and week out. You're getting dead information that never changed. And one thing we know that's constant in the universe is change. And if something doesn't change, it's dead. And that's part of the process why you cannot reach some fanatical religious people, because their mindset is dead. You cannot penetrate a mindset that has blinders on, that they don't look to the left or right. They're just being or propagating what they've been told. And it also, again, it goes back to what we said at the beginning of the show. You know, what you represent and what you identify with, again, is going to determine your mindset. And I think the problem with a lot of these reforms and change that we're discussing and things that need to be done, you can't bring that religious view into some of these problems that we have, because that's where we have a problem when we try to unite. When we're dealing with the facts of a situation or the problem, we want to bring our own personal opinions and philosophies in it, and most of the time it's religion. And let me show you how this usually happens. We could have an intelligent conversation. We could be discussing something. We could be talking about Egypt. We could be talking about anything. There's always that one that intentionally comes in with something religious, and it just sets back the whole progress of the conversation. So religion is a huge problem amongst us. It's the reason why we're separated. We did something at the class last night, which I thought was to plant a seed in somebody's mind. And I thought this is
right.
Neat. One of the brothers asked the question last night, you know, and everybody that's listening on the show can do this right now in their head. It takes 5 seconds mentally. When we say China, what's the religion or the way of life in China? And everybody said Buddhism. We said India. They named the two, three prominent religions in India. We said, we mentioned countries like Syria, Iraq, and Iran, and everybody said Islam, okay? Then when we said the American or the African-American, what's the African-American's religion or way of life? It got quiet. Because the African-American, that's the part of the problem of this mental warfare. They have everybody else's stuff but their own. That's the problem. Because they identify with everything other than what they are by blood and nature. And I'm telling you this, you may not realize it today, but you will realize it as you take that spiritual evolution and that journey. You are who you are by blood, and you are actually evolving back to the essence of how you were birthed into this universe. So you can, modern day, identify in the present with something that's totally adverse to your nature and your blood, but you will find out as you get closer, and I say this symbolically, to who you are spiritually by destiny, you're going to encounter who you are by blood one way or the other, whether you like it or not. And you will face that moment where you will be in an identity crisis and the reality will hit you. This poses a problem. Now, why does this pose a problem? Real simple. Because it clouds the way of thinking. What you open yourself up to, what you make yourself receptive to as far as mental energies, frequencies, information, what that does is it gets into the DNA and RNA. It goes through the body, and it's assimilated all throughout your melanin. It goes throughout the internal organs. Yeah, I researched this. And you'll find it shapes your way of thinking. It also shapes the brain waves. Okay? And we were talking about this last night about the hippocampus area, spiritual impressions. What it also does is deaden the hippocampus area of the brain. Now, a lot of us are closed to this spiritual awareness of a lot of the things we talk about. I'm not saying per se some of us listening to the radio. We're talking about people in general. So I want to be clear on that. They become closed and not receptive, like the brother, you know, asked, what class are you? You got to think before you answer that question, because it goes back to self-identification. So we got a lot of deprogramming that we have to do first before we can get to the answer to that question. But some of us might be able to answer it right now. You know, some of us can have that answer.
Yeah, they do. And we got some callers on there. We're going into the top of the hour, y'all, so we're going to be getting some calls in soon. So bear with us because we're just tipping the iceberg now because in a lot of these conversations that the conscious people and all people who have some type of understanding of history, period, black, white, Asian, these two icons to me have been kind of grossly misinterpreted and kind of maligned in so many ways. And I would say Malcolm X was one, MLK, and Marcus Garvey. And I just want to give you guys a little tidbit that, see, we kind of say we like to look at history, but you got to dab into the personality of the person and the people of that time to see the essence, because everybody did not get along. It's not to all get along. That's not an issue. The issue is, can we compromise where some type of beneficial endeavor is created? But in this particular genre, it's been one-sided. So I'm going to just say, we got a lot of people saying Malcolm X, and I'm going to give you what Malcolm X said. This is, you look this up. People don't like to talk about what they actually said. You give these fantasies through the History Channel, and you don't get the essence. And then we're going to go to the top of the hour, and we're going to keep this conversation growing, but we're going to take it to there. Malcolm, he realized that the KKK and the Nation of Islam were controlled by the same people. Both groups were funded by a Freemason named Clint Mushkin, H.L. Hunt, and others for many years back in 1960. This is ironic, since folks like Hunt wanted capitalism to be used in a society, and the Nation of Islam members loved black nationalist version of capitalism as well. Later on, Malcolm X rejected mainstream capitalism as being exploitative. Malcolm X also expressed opposed the Vietnam War in 1964 fully, which was way before MLK opposed it. So y'all understand that. Malcolm X opposed it first. Malcolm X involved more call for women's rights. He wanted more women's rights. Malcolm X wanted Pan-Africanist movement where Africans were all over the world unite and advance political, economic, spiritual, cultural growth in the world, just like Marcus Garvey wanted for black human beings as well. And it says Dr. Martin Luther King was a great man. We said, but Dr. King had many Jesuit Masonic connections. In his march to march with the Jesuits, in his I Have a Dream speech in 1963, King promoted, here's the key word, everybody, look this word up, ecumenicalism. That's ECUMENICALISM, ecumenicalism. I think you need to look at it. This was what was promoted. That's why so many rabbis and preachers were all in the front. And then it says, to unite all religions. Frankly, ecumenicalism only benefits Rome. He preached in the Masonic Temple that night, and he was received an honorary degree from the Jesuit University. In fact, the Civil Rights Movement and their leadership, not independent grassroots workers, had the legitimate grievance be opposed to Jim Crow oppression. These grassroots individuals ought to be completely respected. Jim Crow is evil. And then he said, this is likely more a fascist movement that has been infiltrated by the Jesuits. Now, before we go into the top of the hour, y'all tell me what's the name of the Pope and why would his name have to be the Jesuit Pope? When he came out, y'all need to have some idea of who these people was with Malcolm X. Why would Malcolm X get upset and say this man, these two men funded this? It's documented. Go on Google and put in Malcolm X and H.L. Hunt, and it'll come up itself. It has nothing to do with me. It's already on there. And you will be quite shocked at what we perceived to be a movement was actually orchestrated by what is called the Satanic Imperialism powers, meaning that they have opposed the Maya. They have opposed the Maya. Satan means opposer or adversary. It has nothing to do with anybody in red. Talking about the devil that they've been giving you pitch for. The Hebrew that it comes out means adversary. Satan. That means the adversary imperialism to the meta-netter. They don't like nature. They don't like nature. Nature is not their friends. So tonight, we go into the second half. And I'm going to get a few people on the line, brother, get your question, but you get yourself ready because we got some more to talk about. And I want to get into a little bit of what's your take on some of the police activities that is going on in the communities, which is really all over. It's, I think it's more like Reverend Pickney said, and he said it may not seem like black and white, but it's actually imperialism against the poor. It's serfdom.
That's right.
But let me get a few more people in here. And let's get this conversation flowing, y'all. Top of the hour, 777. You on the line? How are you, Dry Bones?
Hey, good evening, brothers. Once again, interesting topic, and appreciate the information the guests are bringing. I'd just like to ask the guests a question in terms of, like, do you feel as if especially the African-American community have not clearly defined who their adversaries are in terms of economics, social, as well as politics, but definitely racial? And identify them clearly as to what effects they have on them in the communities, aside from all of the distractions. Do you think there should be a concerted effort to clearly identify who's friend and who's foe towards the community? And there has been a clear and evident enemy to the community in terms of their tactics, their approach, and how they deal with the community, but it seems that the community is just kind of blind to those facts. What's your take on that, and what do you think would be a good approach to begin to even expose those without coming off as if we're being anti, or maybe how would you say in a more politically correct terms, maybe defensive. So
right.
I just want to take your answer off air.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, bro.
That's a really good question, and there's two key points you mentioned: economics and identifying the enemy. And this is one thing we never really talk about, because most of our communities, most of our cultures, don't have an economic system. But I want to talk first about identifying the enemy. See, in this day and time, that's a little bit more tricky, because like we've been discussing, it's not just about race no more. It's not a black or white thing no more, because you got black people high in power that are assisting these demons and destroying these communities. Because right now we're living in a time, there is no middle class no more. We have to establish that. You either have money or you don't. There is no middle class. When we were growing up, when we were younger, that used to be a classification. That was a term for you weren't poor, but you didn't really have money. That's out the window. The way the economic system is going worldwide, and it's more damaging in the African-American community, because you see the poverty level even worse, okay? And the issue that it is one, the same old cliche, which it goes deeper than that, we don't support a lot of these businesses, number one, because we get gripes and complaints. We're charging, you know, prices are too high. Well, prices would come down if we supported. You got to realize we're up against the economic system where everything now is mass-produced. We have to think of this. How do we beat a system where, again, back to the computer, what is it you can't purchase on the Internet? Because the problem is none of the money, and we are probably the number one consumers on the planet. When you're constantly consuming things but never producing anything, it creates an economic imbalance. So we're not producing anything, okay, and we're consuming everything. That's a huge problem. Now the question is, what is it we can produce? You understand, is not being produced. How can we stimulate the economy in the system? But again, we're up against a system where we're dealing with gentrification. We're dealing with social class. And now, not only if when we're identifying the enemy, we're not just identifying the upper class European that's trying to control the wealth. Now you have some black folks that get a little taste of power and some money, and they're working in conjunction with these people, destroying their own communities. We talked about, you know, the systems, you know, when we were discussing last week, when we were breaking down how we don't have an economic system, we don't have our own bank. When you don't control money, you don't control resources, you don't control power, it's hard to defeat them. Yeah.
Let me ask you about that, because that seems to be the good. Now, again, everybody, I ain't preaching to the choir, but y'all know economics, everybody know we need money, but we don't have money. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Because we do not address, he mentioned something that's very serious, because we are lazy as well. I'm going to pick you on y'all backs now, because we lazy. We lazy. It's like the simplest thing is to call somebody. If we told everybody right now on this call, please call your congressman, even if you thought it was crazy, I guarantee you they would be shocked to see that a black district is calling. I guarantee you. Now, I'm not pushing politics. I'm just saying these are things that even those who believe in the politics won't even do. Then you got others who will say, you know, I want to start doing this and that. But let me just ask you this question, y'all. Those of you who have businesses, and I want to hear this, those of you who have businesses, do y'all smile at the customer when we black? I want to be honest. I want y'all to ask that question seriously. When we go into y'all stores, and we be like, let's go into Mr. Lee or Mr. This, Mr. That, and y'all stores, and y'all been there, we trying to make sure y'all stay there because ARAS buying all the rest of the stores up. Y'all the last left. Can we get a smile that we hung in there? I mean, y'all don't realize, make us feel good about giving y'all some money. Just like when y'all go to get those Gucci bags, y'all go in them stores smiling. Y'all don't even look mean, because as soon as you look mean, they got the cameras on you. In them real stores, they got police out there really ready. So it's a big difference than some other stores. Why can't we have customer service skills?
Right.
Nope, our customer service skills got to come up, everybody. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, and if I could add to that, you bring up a good point. And again, it goes back to supporting. And we gotta stop. This is what we tend to do with each other when we do business. First of all, it's about unconditional support. We gotta stop looking for the hookup all the time. And what I mean by that is, I know sometimes when I do business, we got to learn to separate business and being affiliated, whether it be friends, et cetera, because you just said a point. We'll go into these stores and spend hundreds and thousands of dollars on Gucci bags. We don't get to the counter and say, hey, man, give me the hookup. Hey, man, can you take $100, $200 off it? We don't do that when we go into their businesses. But when we do business with each other, we're always looking for some shady angle. Some, brother, give me the hookup. Come on, man, cut me a break. I'm your boy. You understand? This is another reason why we're not successful, because we got to first be real when we are dealing with each other before we can deal with anybody else. Because, like I said, you don't get into the line at the grocery store and get to the clerk and say, hey, man, can you take a dollar off that gallon of milk? No, you go in there. Whatever that man tells you that total is, you pay it. Whether you're happy or not, you slap the money out, you're done. But when we deal, see, another thing to alleviate that economic problem and change in the economic system is let's deal real with each other. Stop looking for the hookup all the time. This is why we never get successful on any level. And then money is a problem amongst us because we don't trust each other with money. Why the hell quiet things get when money is brought up and discussed? And a lot of us that have tried the partnership in the past and start businesses, and it's probably many of us listening and tuning in right now, that businesses fail because there was a lack of trust with money there. That's another issue. But the brother that asked the question brings up an excellent point. The question is, how do we change this? And the question is, we have to start all these programs. The brother just mentioned also, if we know people that have business, make a conscious effort to give your business to that person. I'm sure we all know somebody that's a barber. I'm sure we know that. We should know somebody that's an attorney. You understand? The first step, we can't build anything if we don't keep the money amongst ourselves, because every other nationality does it.
Well, let's go there.
If I could just add. Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, if I could just add, every nationality does it. Now, ask yourself this. Well, I want to point one race, one ethnicity out to you that you probably don't see out shopping mainstream, wide scale. You don't see a lot of Chinese people in Walmart, do you? You don't see it. That's because Chinese buy from Chinese, okay? That's the number one problem. When you go to all these businesses, like my good brother just said, you go into the Arab convenience stores, who are you seeing there? Black folks. You go into Walmart. What's the majority percentage of the people shopping in Walmart? Black folks. You go into the supermarkets. You got a large variety. Okay, but there's one thing you don't see, the Hasidic Jew shopping mainstream. You don't see the Chinaman shopping mainstream because they buy and sell amongst each other, and they keep that economic prosperity in their own communities. And that's how you start controlling things. That's how you build up wealth. That's how you build up power. And then look. And if some of y'all on this call that are from New York, look how the Hasidic Jews own New York City. They have their own bus lines, their own schooling system. They own, you could go to every borough and see blocks and blocks of what they own. And guess what they're selling? Shit that you buy. Shit that you like. Big, ridiculous, gaudy jewelry. But yet he's standing there in his black kufi, and he's wearing his all black with his tassels, and insulting you in your face, showing you he's a strict Hebrew, but the stuff that his Bible speaks against, he's got no problem selling it to you because you're stupid enough to buy it from him. He's selling you leather coats.
Well, that's in the Bible. I mean, the Bible says that they're only supposed to be nice. The Talmud says this too. They're only supposed to be nice to the Jew. They can do anything to any other group. That's in their books, everybody. I didn't make this up.
That's right.
It's in their books.
That's right.
And that's something why those of you in the religious world, when we talk like this, you say, well, what are you talking about? This is well known for those in the religious world. This is not even this is one-on-one talk. Let me get to some brothers in here. My brother Montu Hotep. I got brother Sean. How y'all brothers coming in? I get some sisters up coming on here because we want to get the whole conversation going, because we believe that we need both the man and female. But y'all brothers, come on in here and give me your thoughts so far, Brother Montu, because we got you coming on with Strong Show Wednesday night with the vampires and werewolf mythology. So go ahead, give me some knowledge about what you've been hearing. Hello? You out there? All right. Brother Sean, you out there?
Yeah, I'm with you, Brother Drop Bones. Greetings, Brother Benini Autumn Ray.
Greetings, brother.
Hey, you got a question? I got him out there. He was just on there.
Yeah, I think he might have a bad connection.
Yeah, he probably got a bad connection. Let me go down. Let me go to New York. Let me go to 3174. 3174. Go ahead, 3174. They're having a party. They're having a party listening to us. They're having a party. Let me go to 5959.
Hey, Brother Drawbone.
What's happening?
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
All right, man. Be good tonight, man. Glad to have you out here with us.
Glad to hear, Brother Amon-Ra. How you doing, brother?
Good. I'm doing good, brother. How are you?
Doing excellent. Excellent. I'm just basically calling in, man. Last thing Brother Amon-Ra said, brother, is it looks like it's a science to this thing here. And one thing I've noticed with African-Americans, they haven't figured out or they forgot what gives them power in their community. And it's almost like they have outsourced it, everything to everybody else. And now become, instead of being self-sufficient, they're dependent. And I don't know when that really kicked in, when it really got strong like that. But we're always going to somebody to help instead of helping ourselves.
That's right.
And it's pretty bad. Even in the time we were talking about 2014, and, you know, everybody thinking about, you know, we got a black president, actually he's a mulatto, but still. But, you know, I think the thing about it, I think the powers that be give you an illusion. You follow the illusion not knowing that you're in worse condition than you were. You actually were in better condition 50, 60 years ago.
That's right.
Now. So that's the biggest thing, brother. I'm just glad you're putting that out there and feeding the minds on this. Because it's something that definitely needs to be talked about. It's a rough time right now.
I'm going to tell you.
I really understand.
Yeah, thank you, brother. That's my mind, too, bro. We're going to, like I say, mind, too, going to be with us this Wednesday, everybody. And y'all know he laid out some good information. And we do this information, y'all, for you to challenge your own self to say, hey, your brother's coming. Let's check it out, make sure it's true. There's too many people out there that is doing this. I mean, I can tell you right now, man, the whole country is becoming in tune to change. Now, you got the word change brought in, like the brother said, by President Obama. And can we go here for a minute, y'all, before we get into this more discussion? Now, I don't have a problem with y'all understanding politics, but we've been talking this for so many years, y'all, and it's almost kind of frightening, even in the conscious community. And I go with this scripture because I have to go to the Bible now because it has been the most permeated book in the minds of the people. It says, he can deceive so good, he will deceive the very elect. Now, many of us feel that we special out here. You know, our knowledge is out there. You know, we feel. But if he can deceive the very elect, most likely you in that percentage. Most likely you in that
percentage. And Brother Bones, if I could add, and you bring up the Obama topic, and I know that came up last night in the class. And it's funny because the brother that just called in with the question, he used the word illusion. And it's funny how when Obama was elected, everybody was under the illusion that we got a black president, that our problems are over. And they didn't see the switch and the illusion that they were playing on us. Because the stage that the world was in at that time, as bad as the Republicans and the Bush administration had destroyed the economic fabric of this country, they knew. We were starting to rise up. They saw it. Now, focus what was going on at that time. All the revolts were rising in Egypt. There was a lot of governments being overturned at that time. America was fearing that was getting ready to happen here in 2008. Okay? You got to go back and look at it. Now, to prevent civil unrest, that's just one of the aspects. To appease us, like the brother said, they threw somebody in there that was connected to the black family on some genetic level. Now, the illusion is, we talked about this last night, whoever's in office, you best believe they put them there for a reason. And you're not getting in office if you don't have some type of connection on another level. I don't care what you think, what you believe. That's all part of the illusions. I don't care if you put a black man up there, a white man up there, a Chinese man, whatever, a female. It
Hillary.
Doesn't matter. You're in that bloodline. You're in that York, that Lancaster, the Rothschild. You're in that bloodline somewhere where you have the ability. And remember, they use you as a figurehead. We talked about last night, you don't get a choice because they give you candidates. They handpicked all those candidates for you. And then people say, well, you got to vote in order to make a change, to make a difference. But how can you vote for candidates that they hand-selected that don't represent anything that needs to be represented for your sake, for your issues, for your cause? And I'm not just talking about the black cause. I'm talking about the worldwide human cause. Because if they give you four candidates, they hand-selected those four candidates, and they couldn't care which one gets in there. I don't care if they create the illusion that they like one and hate the other. That's all part of the mental mind game, too. You understand? They put those people there for a reason. Go ahead.
Well, let me say this then. Because I get a lot of email from, and those of you know who get the email, we get a lot of email from Africa. And we had Dr. Ngimi, who was on the show, and I hope to have him on again about what's going on in Congo. I want y'all to know something, like what he just said was very profound. How many of y'all actually knew that the Congo has the second largest rainforest in the world? And by them tampering with these two rainforests, matter of fact, they already took over the rainforest in Brazil. And we'll just mention this briefly because we got to tell you, this is called satanic imperialism. In Brazil, everybody, they put a stadium in the middle of the Amazon, built it. You
and
must
bro,
understand
if I could
what
add-
he's Go ahead.
Brother Dry Bones, if I could add to you what you're talking about forestry and land, I want you to go research this because that plays an important aspect of the destruction of the ecological system of our planet and the control for natural resources. I want you to go look this up when you get off the phone. Does anybody know what percentage of forestry is left in the country of Haiti? When you hear this and you go look it up, you're going to see why disease is running rampant. Why did all the stuff that's going on is going on? There's only 6% left of natural forestry in the country of Haiti. 6%. Do you know how ecologically dangerous? Deforestation, 6%. Do we know how much is left in the United States? Do you know the percentage in the United States? What we have left on our land, deforestation, the percentage, 30%. Okay? So that tells you, another thing we don't talk about as people is ecology. Because how does ecology affect us? It affects us on a worldwide level. Not only just physically, economically, it affects us spiritually and mentally. Because we know through photosynthesis, the sun, energies that's emitted, we need this greenery. It's a certain percentage of it is a necessity. So one thing we don't pay attention to, a lot of us that are conscious, because we're not mentally geared towards that field, we don't talk about the ecology of the planet and how it's going to affect us, how it's going to affect our children, our children's children, and how it affects newborns. You know,
that
needs to be discussed.
Now, let me ask you this, because you brought up psychology, and I hope to get the brother on who I met, Dr. Tahuti, about this psychology, because I was under the pretext from one of our guests, Dr. Lieutenant Dorothy, stated with a DVD she gave me that psychology was brought in by the Germans from World War II. It was not a pure science. According to what this document states, everybody, listen carefully, and I want us to have this discussion because psychology is messing with your psyche, and they can give you false pretenses, and they do this all the time. It's called false registry, and they got programmers and so forth that will psychologically imbalance you. This was done with precision. Scientific research was behind this. I feel that eugenics, to me, is one of the most talked about subject in not just the black community, well, all communities, because eugenics was used on Japanese, eugenics was used on a few other races, but the one here in America was very unique. And I think that goes along with the spiritual warfare of the killing of your children, which is a ritual. For those you don't know, and those you do know, you know that I told you a while back before we get deep in this, Saturn, I'm going to continue, the heavens is telling you that what is ruling right now, and these people have had, if y'all been watching any of the YouTube and some of the Facebook, you see the killing of the children over in Palestine, heads are being blown off. They're all over. Y'all seen it. God have sent it to me.
Yeah.
Y'all seen all these tragedies all over the globe. It's desensitizing you now. So murder will look so normal. Murder will be looking normal in a little while. So you won't have, you'll be desensitized to when you see full bodies blowing up. This is what's going on. That is called mental warfare. Many soldiers have come back totally messed up from this. So let's talk about some of the brain waves and some of the ultra-sensitive low-frequency waves that have been practically elevated to a new level in this era. What's your take on that?
And now, that's powerful because we discussed that last night. Now here's the importance of this. Dealing with the alpha brain waves, dealing with the brain, the hippocampus area, dealing with our pineal gland. Now we got to get down to business. First of all, you can't be open and receptive to this awareness if the body's not right. And I'm talking about properly. Okay, because a lot of us, you know, we're into all this spirituality, but if the mind and the body is not conditioned right to receive this, it's all for naught. Now, what we have to do is we have to educate ourselves on a couple of things. And again, the diet thing with me, that's a whole nother class. You know, whether you're herbivorous or carnivorous, again, that goes into your blood type, depending on what your blood type is. And that's a whole other story. But things that we need to do, for an example, we're dealing with, a lot of us eat wheat and don't realize that the wheat's been genetically modified. That's a fact. Go look it up. I can't remember the name of the gentleman that won the Nobel Peace Prize that modified the wheat. He got the Nobel Peace Prize for doing it, and I can't think of his name right now. But what he did was he made the root shorter, and it produced more wheat on the root, and it's genetically modified. And that's what this does, is it gets into our system, this genetically modified wheat, and it blocks the brain waves from functioning correctly. Okay? Corn fructose syrup, which is in just about everything that we eat. Okay? And it takes 16 hours to get out of the body. Okay? You shouldn't be eating this stuff throughout the whole course of a day. Now, they set up a system, and this is part of the warfare. We live in a society where there is no such thing now as just the man working and the woman staying home. There's not that traditional family setting. Those days are over. We're living in a time where people are working crazy hours, all different types of shifts, and this is an effect on us psychologically, mentally, and physically, because now most of us eat on the run, and we're not eating the stuff we should be eating. And that's part of this plan, too, because they know by the chemicals, again, that we ingest that gets in our DNA, they know that's going to cut us off from being receptive to receiving the blessings of this cosmic energy. They know it destroys our central nervous system, it breaks down the immune system, and it disconnects us from receiving these spiritual impressions to the hippocampus area of the brain. So the fructose and the modified sugars need to be cut out. That's key. And that's just in about everything that you eat. Now people say, hell, I ain't doing that. Well, then you'll just be a walking encyclopedia. You'll have a lot of knowledge, but you'll never make that genetic leap in your DNA because you haven't been able to cut that stuff off. And what we have to also realize is the chemicals that's in that corn fructose is addicting. That's why, if you can reflect back when you ate a lot of that stuff, that's why when you open up a whole pack of Oreo cookies, you're able to eat a whole sleeve. You can't stop. You can't just eat one. That's because that chemical that they use in there, the mind is like a computer. It registers that thought. Once you get that taste, the subconscious registers it, and then it longs for it. It sends the energy and the vibration out. It's longing for that. And then you get addicted to it. It's literally like a drug. And we got to be educated on that, too. And I'm not talking – now, again, I want to make this clear. And this is no disrespect to my vegetarian brothers and sisters. I don't want people to confuse – being a vegetarian or your diet with being a revolutionary is two different things. It's not the same thing, because unfortunately some people get that twisted. It's a dietary choice. I'm speaking from a perspective of how this affects us mentally and spiritually. So I want to make that clear, and I'm not telling anybody what and what not to eat, because you need to do a thorough check on your DNA, first of all. Trace your DNA and your bloodline back to the exact tribes you come from. Study that tribe's diet, and you will figure out why you have some of the positives and negatives that you have within yourself. You need to know what the body is lacking, what kind of protein, what's your level of proteins, amino acids, B vitamins. You need to know all that before you take on any diet, and you need to know the effects it has on you. A lot of us get involved in all these diets without doing a full-blown medical check on what we lack and don't lack. And why is that important? Because the chemical imbalance in the body is going to affect your connection with the cosmic, with spiritual energies that permeate throughout the universe. And your central nervous system is linked up to that because the central nervous system receives the impulses, the messages. And what happens when you have what? What do they call it? A nervous breakdown, right? And then when you have a nervous breakdown, you lose your mind, okay? Now, that's really what it means when you lose your soul. If you lose your mind, you lose your soul. That's really what they're telling you. Because when you're out of your right frame of mind, you're not in a logical state of thinking. So all that's connected. So that's why we say the mental warfare, mental imperialism, and we talked about last week, it's a mental form of slavery that they're advocating right now through media, through technology, through music. Because remember, they can send these low frequencies through the music too. They know how to play with the sound.
That's it.
Go ahead.
They know how to power play. Let me get another caller in here and keep this thing going here. 1-877, you on the air. OE Dry Bones.
Greetings, Dry Bones. How are you?
Greetings. I'm wonderful, sister. How you feel tonight?
I'm doing wonderful. Enjoying this this great show. And I just want to tell a brother, I really appreciate you coming back for part two. Maybe we'll get a part three, too. I have been, trying to figure out how do we bring our community together? How do we encourage our black people here to buy from one another, to support one another? That's been a big challenge for me because I'm an entrepreneur. I've been an entrepreneur for about 10, almost 11 years now. And it seems like, I don't know, maybe it's like you were saying, the food disconnect. We're the most divided group of people here in America, and I want to touch also when you stated about the religion. Here, we don't have, there's black people have so many different religions here that we don't have an identity. We don't know our culture.
That's right.
And I don't know if that's the reason why we don't just automatically have a common sense of like supporting each other, being kind to one another. And so I'm in a process of mentally trying to develop different programs that I can, try to reach the community, business-to-business networking, to see if there's any way that I can, of course I can't do it all on my own. I'm looking for, volunteers.
Sure.
and people that want to work with me because it can't be done with one person, of course. It's going to take a team, to be able to filter through, to try, because I'm here in my hometown, Buffalo, and I'm telling you, I try to get at least 7 or 8 people on this show tonight. because if they were more in tune to watching this love and hip hop thing, and I'm just like my family. I'm just talking about my family because I'm here.
Let me say this because we both from the Buffalo. That seems to be what I'm noticing with the programming. Again, everybody got the right to watch what you want to watch. But if we're going to understand what this program is about, it's almost like taking in food. What you put in, that's what you receive. You receive it, you ain't nothing. If you receive looking at these images, do not believe they don't have power over you because it bombards your brain. Most of our shows, for lack of a better word, are very ghetto-ish type luxury boule.
Exactly.
The elite call themselves bitches. calling themselves all kind of names. We got grandmamas fighting on these shows. I mean, older people on these shows. Older people are on these shows acting up as well, so they ain't just young no more.
Yep.
This is coming from the programmers. These are called the programmers.
Right. Yep.
Programmers are very powerful. And the programmers
so that means they're eating too much of corn. Does that mean they're eating too much of the corn syrup, the fructose, the wheat bread?
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking that there has to be something, and I identify with the brother Sam because of the fact that once I realized about the wheat about maybe 5 years ago, I'm whole grain completely. But now it's so sad that they're sneaky. Like I was making some tacos, and I said, okay, I got me some whole grain, you know, the tacos, right? I look at the back of it. They got wheat in the top, the grain too. So they're so good at even putting it in things that we don't think. Like why do you need to put the wheat with the grain?
Two things that you touched on about being a small business owner slash entrepreneur, you know. Owning your own small business, sole proprietor, whatever it is you do, but being a small business person, trying to make it on your own. I want to touch on that, and then what you said about the wheat. And I want to clarify something. I don't want to create the illusion because we're living in a world where, as far as these additives in this food, we can't avoid it 100%. It's impossible because no matter where you go, it is. What I am saying is we can limit this as much as we can to the best of our ability. So I don't want to create.
Right.
A fictitious scenario, because no matter where you go, I said last week's show, if you're not growing your food from the soil that you cultivated and you are giving it the proper attention it needs, then nothing is 100% organic. And because you're going to Whole Foods, okay, to show how deep the spell is and how deep mental warfare is, you trust that chicken you're getting is organic. You really can't confirm it. You don't have the technology to test it, to confirm it. You trust that every vegetable in there you're buying is organic. So I want to put that out. That needs to be established.
Hold on. I'm glad you put that out there because, see, this is where we lack our own scientific, because I said something about where are we scientifically in our mind. We don't have no testing facilities, everybody. Do you understand that? No matter where we are talking and how deep we go, there's no testing facilities for us to say, let's see if this really is true, because we get
That's
the
right.
readout from those of in the corporations, really, they're scientists. Let's be real about this, everybody. I don't want no more losers either, because, see, we got to break this spell, because if we don't break this spell, we'll talk about that on another show. But
That's right.
We got to look at that right quick. We kind of going into these stores and thinking everything's, you know, utopic and something like that.
And that's what I'm saying. You hit it on the head. We don't have the technology. But, again, that's part of the program because we have been programmed to trust whatever we're told. And then as far as the business thing, you kind of bring up some of the solutions, the networking, the starting programs in the community. But, again, it first starts with what we're doing right now, awareness and education. Because if you don't have the awareness and the education, nothing can get accomplished. But another thing which is hard for us to deal with is tolerance. Because in that transition, we have to have a certain tolerance level because a lot of people are suffering from a disease that's plaguing the planet, and it's called ignorance. And it's hard to reach ignorant people. And we have to build ourselves up to be prepared to have a certain level of tolerance when we're trying to make this difference or the change. Because, like you said, if you're starting a lot of these outreach programs, these networking, things of that nature, along that comes with that, there's headaches that come with that. And those that, you know, obviously have done things to that nature, you know. There's positives, but there's negatives. So I think we need to have, you know, plans on how to implement the plans because sometimes we throw our eggs in one basket and it tends not to work out. We get discouraged. But, again, I think it starts with, again, we get discouraged. It starts, again, we have to first stop being just consumers. We got to start consuming from each other because let me give you this scenario real quick. Let's just use a very simple metaphor to show why we're in the economic situation we're in. Let's just take the average working black American. I'm talking about that's working 45, 50 hours a week. And let's say his wife's working 45, 50 hours a week. That's 100 hours a week. Let's just say this family is making $60,000 to $100,000 a year, okay? Now, let's break down. They got a mortgage, okay? They're paying property taxes, okay? Every week they're buying groceries, okay? They're probably going in retail stores buying clothing, things of necessities that they need, and Walmart, department stores, et cetera. Then they probably have a car note that they're leasing from somebody other than self, and they're paying a car note. You mount up all these bills. As soon as they get paid, the money's going right back to the individual sources that gave out the money between paying your gas, your car, your utility bills, your mortgages. Here's the problem. Now, think about all of us that might have, on average, a mortgage, and we all own, some of us own houses, some of us might be renting. But let's say the ownership, okay? We're all shelling out, could be anywhere from $700 to $2,000 a month for mortgages. Now, see, this is what we don't want to do. Let's say we take 20 to 30 people, because when we're asking for solutions, we're taking 20, we take 20 to 30 people that say paying an average of $1,000 a month in mortgage, times that. We could take that money and buy a property with it and build our own houses, build and cultivate our own land. But no, what do? Because, again, we're programmed, it begins with awareness, we're programmed not to trust each other. So the problem is, and why we can't come together, is we're all scattered all over the place, living in different areas and sectors and neighborhoods, and we're paying mortgages and property taxes. Go ahead.
Well, let's talk like this for a minute. One of the problems of us trying to move further, well, we don't analyze some of the progress and some of the mistakes in that progress. During the time you're talking, there was black communities that had were doing very well. Now, this is the part that I'm going to have to make clear to everybody that, you know, this is the class warfare, the imperialism part I'm talking about. This is the imperialism here because of the history of everybody in this continent of USA. We seem to not realize that it's a corporation now. Many of us realize this is not a country as we once thought. It's a corporation. It has been signed over as a corporation. So, again, because of our little intricate history here in America, most time we go and have our own communities successful, we end up getting corporately taken out, and which has always been the case. Now, again, I want everybody to realize, we're going to get serious because if y'all want to stay online, I want y'all to stay on because if you got more questions, because after 11, you will not be able to stay on if you do hang up. So if you're going to stay on, I suggest you stay on until 11. If you have to go, we appreciate y'all from staying on with us this long. The question I like to ask and have everybody ponder, we have given money to all nations, everybody, in America. We have given some of the most outlandish reparations. We gave Europe $500 million after World War II called the Marshall Plan, which was way phenomenal for that time. And we beat them.
Yep.
Supposedly. We have given many groups tons of funding. Our war machine, everybody, we have outpaced every nation on the planet Earth for the last 25 years. There's no nation that spends more on warfare than the good.
Hello? Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello? Yes.
Yeah, I think we lost. Can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, I think we lost. Yeah, I think we lost Brother Drybones. I'm trying to text him right now. I think I don't know if he realizes he's disconnecting, so just hang on. I'm going to see if I can get him back on. Hold on 1 second.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay, hold on.
All righty, thanks. gosh, it's hot in Miami. Yeah.
Mira toda esta mierda que tenemos aquí adentro de este carro. Hello, brother? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Okay. I'm back.
Good,
happens.
Okay.
I'm back. So we're back.
You can hear me?
All's well. Yes, I hear you. All well that's in well. People, please, if you
okay.
Get off now, I know the show. People think the show's over. I think my brother, let me see if he's on.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm back. Can you hear me?
Okay. All right. We're going to try to keep the show. Those of you stay on the line, let me give a shout-out, too. For those of you who always hear us talk about Sister Irene Cates, please, she has a big debate. On Thursday. On Thursday, she's going up against her opponent for the school district in a debate up in Pinellas County. All of us, please wish well. She's going for the school board. That's Irene Cates. Go on her website, Movement Change, and you will see the detail. It's going to be very big. It's a big one, y'all. She's going up against an incumbent. I don't even want to mention her name, but she's going up against an incumbent who's been there. And these are the people that's trying to get there that's just out of the grassroots, y'all, like everybody else. So give some support and keep an eye on that. That's up in Pinellas County, and the great city of St. Petersburg. Go ahead, brother. We're getting close to the top of the hour for any more mishaps. But we were just talking like about some of these mental things and what we can do. In all honesty, I mean, I think we can do it in group. I don't know on that big nationwide if we don't start looking at some of the issues that's going on with other people and making it part of ours. Or what do you think about that? Or should we just, you know, hunker down individually? How do you see this thing?
Well, I mean, this is gonna sound crazy, but it's a combination of both. We obviously,
right.
When you live in an environment, everything that's in your environment you have to consider. So, no, we can't just completely neglect everybody else because you're going to need the support of those people, even if you're building a business. Because like I said earlier, if you take the Jews, for example, they make money off of selling to everybody else but themselves. So, yeah, we need consumers, but we also need some of those people to do business with. So, no, the solution isn't just complete separation, but it's ownership. There's a difference. We have to be able to have ownership. And go ahead.
Well, before I left, what did you think about, okay, before I left off the air, I was mentioned by all these entitlements that are going to a lot of things. That's a systematic economic warfare that's very, very serious. Because if you create lack of commerce to a group of people, you can almost cut them off to almost, you know, gag, drown. And that seems to be a tactic that's being used through the spiritual imperialism warfare.
No, definitely. You know, that's, I mean, you see it happening on a daily basis. But you also said something before we got cut off, how when we develop our own capital system, then we're systematically targeted and destroyed. And that's key, too, because that's something that's happened over the years. There has been, and a lot of people don't educate themselves to it, like you said, there have been a lot of successful, you know, states that had black communities that were successful when you go through history, and we saw how they got targeted. And that's a wake-up call, because that shows where the power is. You understand? And like we said, if you don't have the money, the economics, you don't have the resources, you're not able to control anything. We know the story with Black Wall Street, et cetera. I mean, we can go down the whole list of these things. But the question is, we need to go back and reevaluate them and say, what went wrong? Now, there's a lot of things that you – go ahead. You going to say something?
No, I said, what went wrong in my mind would be the lack of defense. Now, again, and that goes back to learning this history, and I asked everybody, and you can answer this too, there was a period, that's how serious this brainwashing is, and to be in a slave mind. There was a period, man, where, and watching on Hidden Color Street, where there were great Buffalo soldiers, great cowboys. It was an era where we had weapons. It was an era where we had full regiments of people who were black and with weapons that systematically went out and killed instead of saying, hey, you know, that's the only time frame I ever seen that could have been a total coup in America as of that early period when we had all these weapons. And then to make things more, let's just bring it into that perspective, the Clearing of the West, the Buffalo Soldier, I mean, granted, great, great warrior, but he wipes out a total indigenous group for European settlers.
Yep.
So you can see that servitude mentality is to the death almost.
You're right. And if I could add, you said something earlier about the amount of percentage that the United States spends on defense. And that's another thing we don't address. You can't win a war or protect yourself if you don't have the defense. Then the question comes, well, how do we do that? Okay. Now look at the gun laws. I mean, here in the state of Florida, stand your ground law. Who do you think those laws are geared towards? And then look at all the restrictions they're putting on these gun laws. You know, state of New York, you know, you got the no tolerance rule. Once you have a felon, you can't get a firearm. And they know that crime and drugs is targeted towards us. So that's a part of the programming, too, to make sure we are defenseless. Because the bottom line is, and I've always told this to my good brothers in the Nation of Islam, they always talk about there's going to be this great Armageddon and they're going to rise up and defeat the white man. You're not defeating the white man with nothing. What are you defeating them with? You go into a gun battle with a butter knife. This beast has tanks and missiles and high-flyer jets. And then don't get spooked and religious on me and say that some spook god of law is going to come and save you. Because, see, that's another part of the religious aspect that's killing us mentally. Because when we can't explain something, then we put our faith and trust that some spook or spirit god is going to come and save us. And that creates the old coon mentality. That's the coon mentality there.
I want everybody to know, because when he says something like that, I want y'all to be all mad. But I want you to hear again. I'm going to be saying this throughout the whole time they have me on here. This is what the rich Europeans of their day said about religion. Karl Marx. Everybody know Karl Marx. He said that is the size of an oppressed creature in the hearts of the heartless world. and the solar source condition. It's the opium of the people. And
that's right.
The great fight for my Haitian brothers and sisters, y'all know Napoleon was defeated by your great country. But look what he said. He said, there must be religion. Otherwise, the poor would murder the rich. This is Napoleon. Now, we have to take into context is the people who will even rule over us will say these things. Why are we so beholden to something that has blatantly been shown to us? And I'm going to be honest with y'all. This is the only time in my life that I can say that we have the actual power to put our fingertip on a keyboard, good or bad, where they get the coton from. But we can see every library in the world almost right now, every library, to prove if people are saying the truth. It's up to you to do your duty. Now, we're almost at the top of the hour. And, of course, the show is about to go off soon. I just want to thank you, brother, for coming on.
No problem.
And to continue this relationship, and we can reach some of our people. And like I say, it's going to be a battle in progress. But you know what? I love it. My personal, I get a thrill out of it. I like when people
That's
love
right.
to hear something like this. And it made me feel good to know that it is people out there. And again, I thank everybody out there. Now, if you want to stay on, we can and keep it going. But it is going to leave. So those of you who have stuck with us this long, we appreciate you. And like I say, Wednesday night, Brother Montu Hotel will be bringing you the battle between the vampires and the werewolves. And y'all will want to really understand what Frankenstein was talking about. But for that, we thank you. And we're going to keep going. For those of you who are leaving, thank you and have a wonderful, wonderful night. Let's get back to this one so we can even talk even more. Can you stay on, brother, or you have to leave? I don't know if you have to.
No, I'm still here. I'll stay on for a little bit more. I'm still here.
There seems to be a lot of talk. Let's see, we got 10 seconds, everybody. So it's going down to 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Good night, everybody who has dropped the line. Thank you so much. Now, let's get into some of this politics that we're in today. My personal opinion on things mean a lot to me, but maybe not to others. But I still believe that with Obama still having 2 years left, the damage he can do, and I won't say he, meaning him by himself, but the forces that he represents can do, can almost lead straight to another Hillary Clinton presidency. Now, we are seeing the polls who we watching, and Hillary is like being kid gloves. I remember when the Bilderbergs had a meeting in Chantilly, Virginia, and they got lost together, everybody. Y'all do the research. They were supposed to be on a press plane. They got lost, disappeared at the same time. Found out they were at the Bilderberg meeting. Some meeting took place. We don't know what was said, but we presume that Obama was chosen first before they bring in the female principal, which would be the capstone. Those of you who don't know.
And brother, you're throwing the Bilderbergers out there, and I hope people are catching the Masonic aspect of this. But go ahead.
No, and I just want y'all to be aware. So don't get lackadaisical, everybody, and think, it's going to be even more serious if we keep allowing what's going on. So what's your take on this, brother, with this political machine? It's not even following law. It's going through executive orders. It's doing what is not in the Mayat, which is justice. So what do you think about that?
Well, you said something in the beginning of the show, and I think what it boils down to, or the essence of it, is what you mentioned something in the beginning. It's all part of the New World Order plan. And now when I say New World Order, I think a lot of people don't know how broad that term is and what connects to that whole system. Because, like you said, what they're all eventually trying to do, be it Obama or anybody that they put in that position, and we discussed last night, too, you're going to see, as Obama gets closer to his term being up, they're really going to start messing with him. They're really going to start coming at him. Now, like you said, as far as how he responds and what he's capable of doing, and we don't want to just say him because we know there's other powers that be involved. But I think what this gets basically down to is a one-world government, a one-world economic or monetary system, where all facets of a society are controlled kind of like martial law. Because when you look at what's going on around us, this is important to factor in what's going on around us and how it's going to affect us moving forward. Because what these, whether you want to refer to them as the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati, some of these so-called higher-up Freemasons, and I don't want to just paint the negative picture of Freemason, but there is an aspect of it that deals with political, power and wealth. When you look at what's going on in the world, look at the countries around us where there's revolts and civil war everywhere, and you also mentioned genocide and eugenics. This is all part of that process, because if they can establish that martial law or that one government or that one control system, they have to do that by breaking down the economy, put it in complete disarray, where the citizens have to turn to the government for complete dependence. This is what's going on. And if you look at what's going on, again, closely, pay attention to the strategic moves that's going on around the globe and how it's affecting us, and this is all part of the process. So I think what it boils down to, and Obama's part of one of the ploys in that plan, is this one-world system. And that's what they're trying to establish, complete control over the people, a one-world government. And this is what they've been trying to bring in. Actually, this is something that they sat back and planned. If you go back and look at the organization of the Illuminati, Adam Weishaupt, and we talked about last night, I know a lot of people like to break down the dollar bill and the Masonic symbols that exist within our country, the layout of D.C. But if you look on the bottom of your dollar bill, go to the back of it, and we all know about the pyramid and the Eye of Horus, the Eye of Ra, whatever one you want to tie it into. We know what that represents. But pay attention to the Roman numerals on the bottom of that pyramid, which is in Roman numerals 1776. They'll tell you that that's the establishment of the Constitution of this country, which was established July 4, 1776. But that's actually the establishment of the Illuminati in this country by way of Germany. So you need to factor all that in. And then what's Obama? We talked about what's Obama's role in it. Now, I know everybody has done their research to an extent on who he is genetically and what he's got roots and connections to. But remember, we said something earlier that's important. If you're in that position, you hold that seat, you hold it for a reason, and you cannot hold that seat. And you mentioned the Pope earlier, and we didn't touch on that, the Pope and his name, and I wanted to get back to that real quick. But Obama is there for a reason, and I think how this whole thing is going to end up with him, like you said, he has the power to do a lot of damage because he's out. After this last couple of years, he's out. But I'm going to be honest with you, my honest opinion on it, I don't think he's going to do anything, because I personally think he's a puppet, he's part of the system, and he's going to only do what he's able to do. And we talked about, again, like you said, Brother Bones, you mentioned last night, basically he just came out and advocated homosexuality. And I want to stress this, I don't discriminate against anybody because of their sexual preference. But my stance on it, and I'm not afraid to take a stance on it, this is just my stance, but I don't discriminate against anybody's sexual preference, but I come from a scientific perspective. I'm not in agreement with it, but I don't judge you for it. But this country is pushing as if that's okay, and we briefed that last week. We talked about it. We touched on it briefly, but now we're living in such a liberal society where nobody wants to take a stand on anything. It's always playing both sides of the fence. You're either for or against. There's no in between.
And I'm glad you said that, because now I'm glad you brought that up, because, again, we live in a world where being a victim is very profitable, everybody. They have created a victim state. Now, let's be logical, everybody. Most gay people are way richer than you are. So they can't be discriminated. They can't be discriminated against. Impossible.
That's right.
Impossible. They have the control of most of Hollywood. How can they be discriminated against? No one's beating up the choir director at Southern Baptist, Holy G. They're not beating them up because they're all there. So let's stop with that.
Well, Brother Bones, could it be the fact that those people, those powerful homosexual people behind the scenes, are the ones pushing the buttons behind this whole gay movement?
That's where we're going. That's where I want to go there. Right? This is more of a cult type mentality. I'm going to be honest with y'all, and y'all look it up. I'm not making this up, but you heard of the Greeks. Y'all know the Greeks, 300, Pedastry. Y'all read, all the Greek writers, you know, have written that boy love is a great love, you know, so forth and so forth. Now, I want y'all to understand something. This is the Hellenistic period. This is the Greek period. Problem has been, most of our fraternities are Greeks. So we have taken symbolically on this particular type of culture that has been given to us. And I want y'all to know, it was a book you had there about the Crusaders, Knights Templars. Knights Templars have two guys on a horse. That was like Brokeback Mountain medieval. That's what that was about. That's what that was about. And yep. So they always had that in place as a ritual. Now you say, oh, he's making fun, he's laughing. Why do you think the Catholic Church has the biggest pedophile cases in the world of spirituality? I'm not making this up. I didn't try to put, I found out through their records. Just go to Vatican law, it'll pop up. They have more court cases, they have settled more cases than any religious institution in the world on pedophilia. Now, let's be honest, everybody. That's the biggest religion in the world, in the Western world.
That's right.
In the Western
That's
world.
Right.
And for everybody to play like, you know, go ahead. Y'all start. Help me out, everybody. I'm bringing everybody back in.
If I could, talking about the Catholic Church, the Pope, and the Vatican, let's touch on that. You're talking about the Catholic Church, like you said, being, you know, the large amount of pedophile cases that they have settled. What a lot of people don't realize is they reenact a lot of these satanic rituals that involve the abuse of these children. What they're actually doing is reenacting a lot of these occultist rituals, these Aleister Crowley rituals. But here's the deep thing. When you mentioned the Jesuits earlier, and then you also have to remember the Vatican in their library, a lot of the stuff that we're talking about, they have full knowledge of this. But again, the level of this information can't get out to the people because then it destroys the economic system of religion because religion is a big business. But also what you need to research is St. Peter's Basilica. Research this. You'll find that St. Peter's Basilica is built and structured as the Sun Temple of Heliopolis. Got to go research this. That whole thing is also constructed like an Egyptian city when you look at the layout. And they actually built a Sun Temple in St. Peter's Basilica. That's a whole other story. So they are acknowledged. We're dealing with powers that be that are acknowledging our ancient Kemetic ancestors, but at the same token, they're using it to their benefit for power and control. Because think about a lot of if the masses accepted facts and information, just think how things would drastically change and religion would be out of business. We wouldn't even be having half of the discussions that we're having. And that also ties into, brought up several times tonight, the effect that religion has on this mental warfare. It's huge and it can't be denied. It has a large effect because we can't get nowhere without somebody interjecting, well, the Bible says. You know, it's just like, okay, the Bible says that. But the problem is that has nothing to do with some of our people that are dying from crack. And I'm talking about people in general, that young teenagers getting pregnant, people being abused. Does it really matter what your religion is? That has nothing to do with solving our problem. That's actually what's separating us. And the funny thing about it to me is, you know, when you read the scripture, you know, Jesus said, come as you are. And if you look at who Jesus rolled with, Jesus rolled with prostitutes, bums, shysters, crooks.
Wine.
You understand?
Yeah,
wine. You don't see, we despise people like that in society. Religious people do.
Hold on, brother. Stop right there. You just said Jesus hung out with who? Say it again?
He hung out with prostitutes.
Hold on. Now, here was the most feared group. Remember what we said, everybody? The most feared group for the three black classes was that first one, because both the second and third despised that one. And that one says they was one that was basically a nomad people. They had craft. Remember? Jesus was in the craft.
That's right.
Railroad.
That's
cars,
right.
Sawmills, farmway. Then it said he hung with whiskey sellers, drunkards, gamblers, criminals.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one that wanted to have revolt. This is the symbolic Jesus he just made a metaphor for. That class right there, blacks.
That's right.
That was slinging the most lowest of the class. Was considered the most feared. Now, let's go with some more information while we're out there. Y'all, any questions? Go ahead. Get on the lines, everybody, while we got you, because we will be casting off in the next few minutes. It's getting late at the hour, but let me get comments from everybody while you can. If you want to, I'm going to ask 8848, make a comment on what you heard briefly, and then I'm going to have 777 come in, and then 18777. Go ahead. You got anything to say?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, My comment is that,
hurry up.
You know, the black community, please hold on. The black community, okay, based on history, the master is the one that puts, you know, the slave in between them, you know, to battle each other, to have that envy and that jealousy, and that's, you know, if a person comes and puts out a score, and you know they're always trying to hustle that brother or sister towards, you know, getting a discount, and or they don't go to that store, they prefer to go to the Arab in the neighborhood instead of going to their own brothers and sisters, you know, store, and that's something that needs to be broken. Because that's something that, you know, also spiritual. And another thing
hold on. You got to turn your radio down. You too. All right, go ahead, 777. 777. All right. And go ahead, if you got something to say, 1877.
Oh, yes. I just want to touch on what the brother was saying about the economy and the dollar. It's my opinion also that this the breakdown of our economy here in our country and around the world is definitely planned and organized, even with the dollar crashing, the propaganda with the dollar. I was thinking the same exact way. When they break people down and everybody's poor, we have to depend on them. And right now, they don't have the system set up where they can use technology to control us electronically. So how can you control them? If they're trying to create this new world order, is it possible to control the entire world electronically because they don't have that device? So how do they control us? They control us by money and food and jobs.
Sure.
So they started taking the jobs away from our country about, 25, 30 years ago. And they started, I remember back in the day, we can go to Toronto and go school shopping, and our dollar was worth so much more money, you know, in other countries. So they just gradually started bringing our dollar down, and gradually, I remember the gas was 75 cents when I moved to Atlanta 22 years ago, okay? So where are we at now?
Right.
Of course, you know, I know things increase, okay? But what I'm saying is I think that once we are all poor, you know, then they have control of us. Because then what we need, we need the government to take care of us. And that's how they're going to implement the New World Order. And most people, that's why I say that dollar police, that that's propaganda from one country that's going to, the Amero, this dollar. No. They are trying to continuously divide us and keep us, you know, run around with our heads cut off. But logically, if people just sit there and think about, you know, look at the history. History is, you know, it's what how we can properly prepare ourselves for. But I think, like you were saying, we all messed up in the head because of the food and everything. I definitely like how you touched on the Vatican and the Germans. They're the ones who's running this country. They're the ones who run the world. They're the ones who are trying to create this new world order. And all of us, you know, well, not all of us, not me. I'm not into the religion world. But it's weird to me that people cannot see that. And then while I was here in Buffalo, yeah. I'm going to end it right here. It was his brother. He was he worked in my mom's building, and he was from Cuba. He was my complexion, brown skin. And I told him, I said, "You're an African." He said, "No, no, no. I'm from Cuba." I said, "No, you're an African." And he said, "Really? Why did you say
right.
that?" I said, "Because the Africans were the original people. The Europeans
mm-hmm.
came all around the world, dropped their seeds. Okay, you just happen to be a little darker one from Cuba, but you're an African. And we don't know that.
Right.
We don't know our. We don't know who we are." But I'm just enjoying everything. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, sister. Appreciate it. Again, there's so many stories out there. I'm going to let you in. I'm going to get my last comment. Go ahead, brother. Take the floor for the last few minutes so we can close it up.
Yeah, and then I just want to finish and kind of what the sister just brought up in her comment and question. Here's the reality. And having said everything that we said tonight, we could build on information, but here might be the hard pill to swallow. In order for something to change something, it's got to be completely destroyed. In order to create, something has to be destroyed. The reality is where we're heading and what's getting ready to happen. In order, the reality for any of this to change, it's all got to be destroyed and changed. And that's why we're saying that we have to get involved on all different levels, because eventually that's where this is headed. Like the sister was just saying, the breakdown of the economy, the dollar, the system is not working. So it's starting to self-destruct at the very core. What we have to do is, this is where the mental and the spiritual aspect comes in order for us to be prepared and ready for this change, because if the mind is not sounding right, some of us are going to go out of our mind. We're not going to be able to deal with it. So the bottom line is we're heading for that inevitable point where it's all going to be destroyed. But the thing is, at the point of the destruction of this whole system that we're talking about, where are you going to be standing at that point? Are you going to be standing at the point where you're going to be able to make that transition to build something new, to build something correct? Or are you going to be straddling the fence and wait to see what happens and pick sides? Because that's the problem with a lot of us. We're straddling the fence, and we're waiting to see which side's going to come out at top, and then we bandwagon jump. Then we're going to bandwagon and piggyback off of the winning team. Well, I'm telling you, this is where we're heading, and it's we can't avoid it. It's what's going to happen. The whole thing has to be brought down and destroyed.
And I thank you, brother, and I appreciate you. We're going to do it again. I'm going to end it on this, everybody. The destruction that happened, we tend to look at as if it can't happen to us. And I'm asking those of you who've been through any type of natural disaster, just reflect on how you came out of it, how devastating the mind was. Some people was crying, having nervous breakdowns. Their whole body, yeah, people had to have rescue, and some people got stronger. So out of those characteristics, you must determine what's going to happen with you. And you can prepare. We're not saying this is going to be instantaneous, like poof. The word is gradualism. It means it happens so precise and intricate time. It can take 20 years, but it's happening. And so this is where we at. When you look at yourself in the mirror and say, who can I help? We have heard a lot of people, I'm sure, each one of us. But right now, we at war. Paychecks are going to be looked at. Evaluations, people who are going to be told they cannot work because we got to lay you off. This is coming within the next 4 years because of the policies of satanic imperialism. Spiritually, if you know this truth, the truth will set you free. So you ain't shouldn't even be worrying. But those of you who don't understand it, you're going to have mental warfare. Many of you don't know when the Great Depression came, many people jumped off buildings when they lost their fortunes.
That's
right. Those of you who know that money is not even worth, money is worthless, we ain't gonna jump off. They told me money it's worthless anyway. Why would I kill myself? You have to think that way, y'all. You have to think that way. You have to realize why you worry so much, because you're going to make it through, because we are developing new systems. All you brothers out there in law, learn to understand the law without making people confused. True law is simple law, common law. All that legalese mixed in there is confusion law. That's why we incarcerated, listen to some of y'all already. But nonetheless, we are going to go through this, and we're going to make it through this. And I will tell you this, because we call it the Dry Bones Connection. The word came out the four corners of the earth, and the wind is blowing. And the Son of Man said, can these bones live? And he said, only thou can tell. And when he blew into the winds, blowing the winds means in the occult world, revolution, turmoil. And we have turmoil in all four corners of the earth. So prepare for the blowing of the bones, everybody. And that's all we're going to talk about tonight. Peace out.
Peace, Hotep.